Okay, we're talking to Ted Bell, who worked for WTMA Radio sometime in the 70s, I know. Did you start in the late 60s?
Well,
when were you there?
I was hired, John, in October of 1969. I was hired by John Trenton. I was working in Orangeburg at the time. And TMA was always the station that everybody in, you know, the Lowcountry of South Carolina listened to, other than BBQ in Augusta and, you know, the Big Ape in Shanksville. But TMA had a reputation, and it was just fantastic that I landed a gig down there. I remember in high school up in Orangeburg, finishing up, we come down there to Charleston. It was those were during the Doug Randall days, and listening to it out on the beach. I mean, you know, Tiger Radio and all the great jingles and the music, and pretty much all the jocks sounded the same.
Good consistency, huh?
Right. When I came to work, it was 7 to midnight, and about 3 weeks later, I moved to the 9 to noon position. And it was in October of 69, and had a wonderful run. I mean, it was great. The numbers were up. TMA was just so hot. And it seemed like you could do no wrong. The promotions through John and just everybody working together, it was a team effort all the way, and it was great.
All right. How long did you work at WTMA?
Worked through 73, and 71, I was promoted over the TMA FM, switched to the beautiful music format, the Shulky SRP. And I was hired over there as operations manager to oversee that operation.
And what did that entail? What were your duties?
Just kind of day in, day out, making sure the commercials were entered correctly. The reels were running correspondingly, working with the salespeople for production in. And had a salesperson, Rudy Gresham, had come into the sales area and did wonders, and also later moved over to TMA. But he was hired at first for Pixie, PXI. And it was a good music format, and really enjoyed it. It was very, very interesting, a lot of nice people.
Now, did you go off of WTMA when you took
right.
that PXI job?
Right, I sure did. And that was, I think, Billy Smith came in behind me and did the 9 to noon, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you work an air shift on PXI?
No, well, I was voice, but it was automated. So I just cut commercials. And
they didn't have a live morning show or anything?
No, they sure didn't. And there was a man that he had hired for to be the voice of Pixie, and he had a similar station in Columbia and had a real deep voice, and they hired him, and he was predominantly the overall sound of the station.
It seems like I've heard of a lot of beautiful music stations in Charleston in the 70s. I know that WPXI was, WEZL was on about that time, and
right.
I've heard that WKTM was also easy listening. How many easy listening stations did Charleston have?
Well, CSE's FM station also was easy listening.
WXTC.
They were our closest competition at that time. But there were a good many. A lot of people listen to it, you know, in their places of business and work. As far as a selling point, it just didn't seem to ever really get off the ground. It had a lot of clients, but I don't know. It just wasn't really setting the woods on fire. Now I went back to Orangeburg as general manager of that station up there.
Was that the station you'd worked at before?
Right. That was the first station I was hired at in 62. We're telling our age now. We're going way back. But in 1962, it was ORGAM, and I went back to manage that station.
And how long were you there at WORG?
Oh, gosh. 73 through 77. And then made a few return trips to the Charleston area, and then went west. Worked out in Anaheim, the Los Angeles market, another Shulky station, and stayed there and went from there to Boise, Idaho, and came back to TMA again in 79. So it was some travels around. I was doing 7 to midnight at TMA, and stayed there and then worked my way into North Carolina at ABZ up there in Albemarle outside of Charlotte. And then they were putting out a news station up in Blowing Rock, North Carolina, and went up there in the 80s. And pretty much that's where we had been, my wife and myself, and the kids, and we stayed up there, bought a home, and we still have the home in Blowing Rock, and we go back there on occasions from the beach here.
Did you work for any other Charleston stations besides WTMA?
KTM for a while.
And then you decided to go from KTM to TMA or the other way around?
Okay, left KTM, and then that's when we went west, went out to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Lived in Cerritos out there and worked in Anaheim. The station was assigned to Long Beach. But the signal got into L.A., and it was L.A. station, and it was nice for a while, but a different pace of life out there altogether. And went up to Boise, a few, one of the guys, and I can't call his name, Michaels, was working in Boise and had a position up there and went up there for a little while announcing and sales, and stayed up there just less than a year, really, then came back, and that's when I landed for about, I guess, 7 months at TMA again.
What was the difference between working for WTMA from 69 to 73, leaving and then coming back? How had the station changed?
Well, the control room was reversed. turned around, we were facing the transmitters at the time that I returned. And it was where you could stack the cards and then just walk away, and it would trip it automatically and go into the next set, which was nice. But the overall sound, I think, at that time, TMA and the rating was starting to slip, and maybe that was a really turnaround point. And I wasn't there that long to make the observation. I know John was still, he had moved from program director to general manager at that time. He replaced Chuck Smith. And then I did some news over on the automation when I was doing the 7 at midnight. And that was a little supplemental income there. But it had changed a little bit, and I just got the feeling that, you know, and I later found out that they had to change format. And I think CSC was, you know, had won the ratings in that last go-around.
Yeah, WCSC was starting to beat up on them, and they were having problems with FM penetration. People starting to listen to FM stations. KTM was coming on strong. Now, I guess the second time you worked there, PXI was running the soul format, right?
Oh, right. And I often wondered, you know, just in my, you know, thinking, why didn't TMA just switch the format to the FM and just say, you know, on the FM with the format, and maybe the diverse on the AM when they split programming and everything. But, you know, I never was hired for that, for that, those decisions. I was just the announcer aboard.
Tell me about some of the folks you worked with at WTMA first time there.
Well, it was very interesting. And the guy that that moved when I first came there in October of 1969, he was living at the station. His motorcycle had broken down, so he was literally just kind of staying back in the transmitter area, and he would do the weather by the astrological sign. Yeah, Ross McVicker was the guy's name that slept at the station back there on the stairwell. Very interesting, very deep personality. But he didn't last too long. They moved me 9 to noon and moved him back to the 7 to midnight shift. And I think he was replaced later by Robert Wayne Anderson, that show. But working with such greats, I mean, John Trenton, just a treat. Learned a lot from John, Uncle Boob, Booby Nash, Bob Nash. In the market, a star in his own right. I mean, he had that market so ramped up. And I remember him doing all sorts of crazy things on the air. And, of course, Bob Riley. The lineup when I was there was John Trenton, 6 to 9, myself, 9 to noon, Riley from noon to 3, and Booby from 3 to 7, and then the night shift, and then the all-night. We have a guy, too, from Washington, D.C., and escapes me on his name, too, a real nice fellow. And he worked the all-nights when I first got down there. And saw him come. Steve Russell worked the all-night shift for a while, and later, I think, worked even 9 to noon. Just a super fine fellow. Everybody, in fact, that I work with, and Robert Wayne Anderson, Jack Daniels came in. I remember him.
So what about the atmosphere at the radio station?
Okay.
Working under John Trenton as a program director, as a disc jockey, what would you say? Was he a great program director? Was he a good people person?
A very, very nice to work with and for. And John was right in there with you. Yeah, he taught us a lot, the tightness of the top 40, how to say things and everything, how to come out, what he expected of the jocks. You know, we'd go in for jock meetings separately with air checks, just kind of go over everything. He was right on top of it. I mean, he worked well, and I could see him doing well as a GM for the station, which he did later on.
How about Chuck Smith? How was he to work for?
Now, Chuck was an unusual man. A lot of people see him drive up, you know, they'd run and get real starchy, but Chuck, I got along with him really, really great. Just a fine man. He stayed in his office quite a bit, but he would come out and be sociable. I remember one time, at the time when he sold it, or in the negotiations with Ted Turner, and this was during, well, my operations manager over at Pixie. He had brought Ted Turner in to see the operation, and Chuck said, tell Mr. Turner, you know, what you do and what's involved here. So I was over at the machine, going through the steps and everything, turned around, they were walked out, and the door was closing, which I thought was very interesting. You know, he didn't, you know, he was busy, he didn't care.
But he wanted the five-word answer. Too much detail, I guess, for Ted Turner.
Too much. No need to know all that. I'm buying it. Somebody else will run it.
Why do you think he sold the radio station at the time? Because he later bought it back from Turner.
I think he was close to that operation. It meant a lot to him. And he was in a quandary whether to go ahead and let it go, retire, or he was going to stay on, but kind of like get out of the spotlight. He would run it as GM, but let somebody else own it and have the headaches. But I think he saw it, you know, they weren't there. They weren't on top of the situation. They didn't know the market.
You're talking about the Turner folks?
Right.
Yeah.
They were not there day in, day out, you know, hands on. And Chuck was, and he saw it slipping, and that's when he went ahead and bought it back.
What about the second time you were at WTMA? Do you remember the lineup then?
No, I don't. I really don't. I know Boob was still doing afternoons. John J. Scott. John was doing the mornings at that time, I think.
So he was the PD, too?
Right.
Because usually the PD ended up doing the morning show.
Right, and he had taken over. And John had come there before I left the first time, I think.
What do you think WTMA meant to Charleston during the time that you were here?
Quite a bit. I mean, there was the tradition, as we said always on the air, the Charleston tradition, and it was. TMA was where you could always turn to get the latest hits. And, of course, Uncle Booby Nash in the afternoon. And it was great. I mean, it was a very entertaining station, as well as an informative, too. Had a good news department.
Who are some of the news people you remember working with?
I remember Bill Sharp and Keith Nichols worked in there for a while. And also Keith came over to work the air shift, too. I remember Keith doing some...
Franco Hunt was there, wasn't he?
Franco Hunt during the time I was there. And then Arthur Kornicki was the nighttime announcer.
So what was Bill Sharp like as a young news person?
Very dedicated, very loyal, very eager to get the story. Just a nice man to work with. It was a great team, a great lineup, and everybody was right on the same page.
I'm sure that even though FM was not that big in the 60s and early 70s, that once the move was made to WPXI,
yeah.
A lot of people were disappointed that they couldn't pick up WTMA in Orangeburg anymore.
Well, that's true. You know, like I mentioned BBQ earlier, it was a BBQ or a TMA, and the frequency coming through, yeah, I mean, when you get out like that, and especially at night, that's when people listen to the FM.
Now, how was WPXI treated when you were there? I'm sure that you were dedicated to the radio station, but as far as the management and sales department were concerned...
It was kind of like a stepchild, I think. Loyalty was to the AM, and here we've got to do this on the FM, and that's why Chuck wanted to bring somebody in to kind of head up that sales in, and he brought Rudy in at the time, and Rudy was quite a salesman, and he put a lot of business on there, but of course, he was up against some competition too, you know, and I don't know for sure, but I'm sure he was probably doing package deals where he was selling TMA as well as Pixie. I remember laying out the tapes for the weekend, stacking them up, and the jocks over at TMA would be responsible for putting the reels on. And you had a two-hour leadway to go ahead and put the reels on. And a lot of times, we get into situations where they would forget, the reels would run out. Then you'd be up to a situation where you'd had to come in and kind of straighten everything out, which was bad if I was uptown. But we've had that happen on occasions, and so many comments from whoever was on the air at the time. Part-timers, we just don't like having to deal with that.
Plus, it was difficult, I understand, before they put in the automation system that sequenced the carts, when you had a 3-minute record on the air to run back and forth and change a reel.
Yeah, there were tails out, you know. It took a little while to go ahead and get them on there and put them back, and automatically they'd queue up by themselves. But, a lot of comments were made along that line, and didn't think it should be their responsibility to do that. Maybe hire somebody over to Pixie to be there to man it all the time.
Now, how did you feel going from being a rock and roll disc jockey on WTMA to being taken off the air and being in charge of a station that not that many people listen to?
Well, it was a promotion up, you know, and that's the way I looked at it. A few more dollars a week, and it was more responsibility. So I kind of look at it as a challenge. I was young, and maybe something beyond that point, I would move up the ladder. And that's the way I looked at it. I really never thought of anything about being taken off the air at TMA.
Well, listen, Ted, what are you doing now?
Well, I'm a production manager of 94.9 The Surf in Myrtle Beach. Beach and Oldies, Beach and Boogie. I do the 10 to 3 shift. And I've been here, it was a year in January, so I'm going on 2 years here now. And love it. We have a condo here, blocks from the beach. And my wife is a teacher at St. James, a brand new high school in Merrill's Inlet. Also a public service director. Do a 30-minute public affairs program every Sunday morning.
Oh, lucky you.
So, that's nice. And you're in touch with the community that way. And then plus all the on-the-air commercials goes through, you know, my department. And doing a lot of the production and engineering for others, too, that do it. And plus the 10 to 3 on the air. But met a lot of interesting, you know, good beach music people. Barbara Lewis, remember her from Hello Stranger,
mm-hmm.
Baby I'm Yours, and all those great hits. She was in town this past weekend. Fred Cash of the Impressions, and of course, General Johnson with the Chairman. They're always kind of dropping in or yelling at you. But
how's the station doing in Myrtle Beach?
Doing really well. We're coming up in numbers. We're locally owned and operated by a man that also owns a number of businesses in the Loras area, Harvey Graham. And just nice, as you know, I don't work for bad people. They're all, you know, everybody's just great. And just can't find enough kind words to say Earl Taylor's the general manager and part owner. And he's hands-on in here every day. He doesn't pull an airship, but does a lot of the production end. And let's see, Billy and then myself and then Ray Scott in the afternoons. He's from Monroe, North Carolina, and very active in the clubs around here. And people know him, Beach Industry. And we have Cecil Chandler, who does Channel 13, Florence, and Cecil's World, and he does the 7 and Midnight show for us. But very nice. It's been a quick almost year and a half here already. It's really, really good. We still have our home in Blowing Rock. We try to get up there on occasions. And my mother-in-law moved into the house here to take care of the kitty cats. And we are just very busy here. You know, we live at the beach. We don't get a chance to get to the beach.
I know what that's like.
Yeah. But, yeah, working in Charleston so many years, you know, I never got a chance to get down to Folly or about to Mount Pleasant. It's great. So I just moved up the road, up 17 a ways. Here I am, and look to be here, Lord willing, for a good while.